Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the question we're asking in Advent, who is Jesus? Matthew's genealogy is helping us, and so far we've learned about Jesus being the son of David, Jesus the son of Abraham. And today we continue with these verses in Matthew. Solomon, the father of Boab, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the son of Solomon. But what's that mean, exactly? It's easy as pie to begin. It's tough as nails to finish. It seemed that easy for Solomon. When his father David died, pretenders to the throne included his half-brother Amnon, Absalom, and Adonijah. Solomon had them eliminated with the greatest of ease. Solomon had enemies like Joash, Abiathar, and Shimei. They had been no problem. Anointed by Zadok as king of Israel at the Gihon Spring, Solomon came out of the starting blocks like a greyhound after a rabbit. And he only seemed to gain more and more steam. Solomon, who had been the tenth of David's sons, was quickly becoming the favorite. He was gaining steam. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7, Solomon calls himself a kid. But you and I might call Solomon a prodigy. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered over 1,000. He gained control of two of the main international trading routes, the Via Maris along the Mediterranean coast and the King's Highway. The result was that from Dan to Beersheba, Judah and Israel lived in safety, and every man ate under his own fig tree. See, this was an Old Testament way of saying the stock market was up. Unemployment was down, and people were living off the fat of the hog. Things were going great. This was incredible. More than they could possibly ever have imagined. Now, however, though, kings weren't judged simply on their ability to rule and govern. Kings were meant to also be these people who would guide the people spiritually. They would help the people in their devotion to God. But even in this, Solomon exceeded everybody's expectations. Solomon didn't need any lessons in Greek or Hebrew. He didn't have to attend lectures in the book of Revelation or angelology. He didn't have to spend a year on vicarage. Instead, he just did what Solomon does. Building problems. Well, he says to Hiram, the king of Tyre, "My people will talk with your people." And the result? Well, the building of the temple, among other projects, there was the royal palace and the chariot cities of Hazar, Megiddo, and Gezer. If there was ever a surefire candidate for the ministry, it'd be Solomon. I mean, for the first 10 chapters of 1 Kings, Solomon is pretty much perfect. But, in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings, we have these words. Solomon had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. You see, Solomon, forgetting the words of his father, King David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation," Solomon flies towards the sinful desire of his heart. It says that his wives turned his heart. They turned his heart to follow the Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites, and Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab. Down goes Solomon in all his glory. Down goes his kingdom. It's cut into two in 1 Kings 12. It turns out that Solomon wasn't so perfect after all. It's easy as pie to begin. It's tougher than nails to finish. See, like Solomon, you and I, well, we're great at the beginning. We start new projects, new relationships, new ideas with this energy and fervor, high enthusiasm. We're ready to go and get it done like a greyhound after jackrabbits. Like hot knives into butter, you and I tear into these new projects, classes, relationships. But as time goes on, we become weary, fatigued, impatient, and bored. Then, you and I, we zoom to different jobs, different relationships, deadly desires, at least 1,000 of them. Desires of pride, power, prestige, position, prominence, even pouting over poor, poor me. And the world doesn't do you and I any favors. Constantly, you and I see attractive people living very attractive lives with the most attractive of gadgets. We see it in commercials all the times. We see this world quietly whispering to us, you should have all these things. Look this way. Drive this car. This would be yours if only you chased just a little bit harder. If you're honest with yourself, you'd admit it. You're just not good enough. Then down goes the joy of our salvation. Down goes the passion for the lost. Down goes our desire for the word. But Matthew chapter 12, verse 42 says, one greater than Solomon is here, and that would be Jesus. Jesus is the son of Solomon, but he's so much greater than Solomon. See, Jesus not only began strong, Jesus finished strong. For Jesus, it was tougher than nails, because in addition to the nails, there was scourging, mocking, spitting, beating, slapping, swearing, bleeding, crowning with thorns, and still Jesus finished. Despite his disciples' kiss of betrayal, despite his friends running for cover, and despite his countrymen clamoring for his death, Jesus finished. Look, listen. The sky is dark. The two thieves are moaning, and there is Jesus taking a deep breath and speaking these words. It is finished. The veil is rent. The blood is poured. The curse removed. The sacrifice complete. Death is defeated. Paradise is restored. It is finished. Was that a cry of defeat? Well, by no means. This was a cry of victory. So today, you and I, we get no judgment from on high. Instead, we receive the Father's welcome, a shepherd's embrace, a friend's infinite love, divine hospitality. This hospitality is shown in the friend who calls you and I to come and live. Live in the rooms he has prepared for you. Eat at the table that has been set, and rejoice in the salvation of the Lamb. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus proves that though it was tougher than nails, he finished for us. He came to win us from the desires of this world. Finishing strong, it doesn't mean finishing first. It doesn't mean finishing without blood, sweat, or tears. Finishing strong means daily fixing our eyes on Jesus and the work he did for you, for me on the cross. Fix your eyes on the son of Solomon, greater than Solomon. You see, the world may whisper, you're not good enough. But here is what Jesus promises. It is finished. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen. We continue with our next hymn.